I'll ask you to turn in either your copy of God's Word that you brought or in the Pew Bible to Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is the text for tonight. Let us give attention to the reading of God's Word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His host, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And let's go to Him in prayer. O Lord, we have this mighty, wonderful text of Scripture before us. Give to me words to encourage us all here, and also, Lord, to speak that which is true and helpful, and give to us those spiritual ears to hear and to understand and to apply these words. In Jesus' name, amen. I think most of you were here last Sunday, and I had the opportunity to preach from Exodus 34, where the Lord meets with Moses on the mountain and declares His name. And in my study in preparation for that sermon, and I said it during the sermon, that that name that is repeated there or spoken revealed in Exodus 34 becomes something of a confession of faith for the people of Israel and is repeatedly used throughout the Old Testament. Well, as I knew I was going to have an opportunity to make a few remarks here tonight, I thought about Psalm 103 because if you heard the reading there, and I know you did, you heard those attributes, that name of God repeated. And so here is a case of an Israelite, you know, this is a psalm of David, reflecting on that name and seeking to apply it to his own life. And I think as we look at this, in the opening five verses, we have a revelation of a kind of problem that we can have in our relationship with the Lord. If you notice in verses 1 through 5, as it opens, Who is David speaking to? Well, he speaks to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord. In other words, there's the need in David's own life and soul to stir himself up as to the God he worships. And there's a problem that's revealed there, and it's made explicit in verse 2, where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, there's part of our nature as sinners, and certainly Satan, the world does not help, is to distort our views of who God is, and to misunderstand what he's really like, to paint him in different colors than how he has clearly revealed himself. Sam Storms, a person that I appreciate with all of his years of pastoring, says, raises the question, he says, why do we hesitate to draw near to God? And he answers, he says, I think we run from God rather than to him because we know our own hearts all too well and his barely at all. And he explains, he says, we know ourselves and we're painfully aware of our own sin and depravity and our daily mistakes and all of that. And with our own understanding of ingratitude and presumption and our relationship with God, it's all too convicting. In other words, the person we see in the mirror, we don't necessarily really like. And we believe that God is therefore also repulsed with us. He says, concerning human beings, we live in fear that if they knew us for who and what we know ourselves to be, they'd turn and run, ending all hope of friendship and intimacy. And so, you know, a lot of people create a certain type of relational style with other human beings in order to prevent them really knowing who we are. And we carry that over into a relationship with God himself. Well, I think Psalm 103 is an answer to that problem where we have this concern that if God really, really knew us, he wouldn't have anything to do with us. And this psalm containing the name of God also reveals in fullness actually a very different picture. And so let's look at some of the encouraging things that come out of this psalm. Psalm 103, I'm just simply calling the answer to this problem, and we're going to pick up on about four different revelations about God. And the first is, God actually loves to help the needy and the oppressed. Verses 6 and 7 make that clear. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. So as David is reflecting and looking back, he understands, he's working on his own soul. He's working on his own heart so that he will rise and bless and praise and give thanks to the Lord. And so he understands as he looks back, wait a minute, the Lord, the only Lord there is, rejoices in and works for righteousness and justice. In other words, as the Lord looks upon people, particularly the weak, there are about four main categories in the Old Testament of people who fall into this category that are repeatedly mentioned. They are widows, orphans, aliens, and the poor. And as the Lord is looking at them, and we could even say the enslaved, because these texts look back to the Lord's deliverance of his people out of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt. The Lord made the situation right. That's the real idea behind righteousness and justice, to take an awful situation and do that which is right and good, to set things correctly in our lives. And so we can already begin to see the encouraging news. I don't know your heart here tonight. I don't know how you came. But if you came tonight as someone feeling needy, feeling helpless, feeling weak, that doesn't keep you from God. God delights to help you. That's a revelation of his heart. A second revelation here concerning God's real heart is of his gracious love and mercy, and how completely they triumph over my big problem of my sin in whatever aspects my sin exists in or yours does. This is taught in verses 8 through 12. I won't reread all of that, but you will see those great terms that were revealed in Exodus 34 immediately. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. See, he's merciful or compassionate. He pardons us. He's gracious. You know what that means. He gives you what you don't deserve. He's slow to anger. He's patient with us when we fail and when we fall and when we walk astray. He abounds in love. It's not just that he's loving, but he abounds. He's full. It's like an ever-flowing spring or fountain. When he saves completely. When he forgives, he forgives all my sins. When he sets free, we are set free forever. And in these verses, there are two pictures that David paints. You'll see that he says, as high as the heavens are above the earth. How high are the heavens above the earth? We now have telescopes that look out into space, and we use measurements like light years. How many miles does light travel per second, per minute? And we're talking numbers that are so vast, we can't comprehend them. And yet, David was led by inspiration here to write, as high as that is above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards you. And then the second one, as far as the east is from the west. And there have been those, you know, you think about this, you know, if you started here in Asheville and started east in some direction, you know, the question is, do you ever get to the west? No, you're always going east. You never get there. And David knew that as well. And so with these two pictures, he is giving us, trying to give us pictures, analogies, something to hold on to of the vastness, of the magnitude, of the graciousness of God our Heavenly Father. It reveals his heart. So here is some astounding news for any and every sinner. When God forgives, he removes our sins. He takes them away. He puts them so far from us that we can never find them. And they're so far away, satisfied in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his death, that Satan can't have them either to use over us. We don't get them back. Satan doesn't get them back to use over us. They are gone. The guilt is gone. And that's what this second point brings out to us. God's gracious love. What is his heart like toward us? It is a gracious love and mercy that triumphs completely over our sin. I don't care what you've done here tonight. If you are a person who has repented of that, said you're sorry to God, and that you've trusted in his Son, your sins are forgiven in Christ. But it doesn't stop there. A third aspect that is brought out here is that God always compassionately remembers who and what we are. We said our problem at the start and from verse 2 is that we tend to forget who and what God is. Fortunately for us, God never does that. God always remembers who and what we are. Look at verses 13 through 16. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He is our father who deals compassionately with us. I thought about this tonight. I knew this psalm said this text, and I've got my three sons here tonight, and I wonder if they would say, Dad dealt compassionately with us. We'll talk about that later tonight, I guess. But it's the way a father is supposed to deal with children, and it's the way the Lord in his parables and in his lessons speaks about that. He speaks in the lesson of prayer that if your son asks for something good, you're not going to give him something bad, are you? And so our Father God is that kind of Father as well. He knows, he deals compassionately with us, and the reason for that is clearly stated in the next verse. For he knows what we are. We never leave the category of dust. If the Lord does not come back, we die and these bodies return to dust. But the good news is God knows that. And what's interesting is you don't want to miss this connection. God loves us and has compassion on us and forgives us and cares for us as our Father in heaven because he knows us. Remember, we started with our tendency is to think, if God knows us, I've got to stay away from him. And the logic of this psalm is exactly opposite of that. He knows us thoroughly, and his knowledge of us does not repel him. His knowledge of us doesn't terminate his blessing. His knowledge of us, in some sense, is the real reason or explanation why he chooses to be loving and forgiving and compassionate towards us. The last thing that we see here is about the revelation concerning God's heart is that God keeps us forever and ever. In verses 17 and 18, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Remember, we had just said in verse 16, you know, the picture is used. What are we like as dust? Well, we flourish for a while and then we're gone, and its place knows it no more. There's this apparent, there's this very real temporary situation about my life in this world. But does God's steadfast love, does my relationship with him end at that point of my death? No. God forever and ever sets his love upon his people, and he will never let us go. So there's something of a real gospel logic to all of this, isn't it? We tend to think, he knows my frame. He knows I'm dust. He knows I'm fickle. He knows I'm weak. He knows I'm prone to wander. He's not going to have anything to do with me. And David says, no, it's precisely because he knows what you're made of. He knows your weakness and neediness. He knows your sinfulness. He knows that you are a person in need of sovereign grace and saving love. And it's precisely because of that that he sent his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world that we might have real life and a living relationship with him. This psalm is telling us we're richer than we think. We're more blessed than we know. And we have so much more than we realize. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, give us eyes of faith to see and believe more of who you have clearly revealed yourself to be. Forgive our unbelief. Forgive our self-centeredness and our proneness to think that we must perform a certain way to secure your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you that in Jesus Christ we have found forgiveness of sin and a restored relationship with you. Now continue your blessing upon us, I pray, as we continue to sing and give thanks and pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen.